听力课堂，听 class.com。
That of all the rocks upon which we build our lives, we are most dependent on the family. The family is that most important foundation. And we are called to recognize and honor how critical every father is to that foundation. They are teachers and coaches, they're mentors, and they're role models. They are examples of success and the men who constantly push us towards success. But if we're honest with ourselves, we'll admit that too many fathers are also missing. Too many fathers are MIA. Too many fathers are AWOL, missing from too many lives and too many homes. They've abandoned their responsibilities. They're acting like boys instead of men. And the foundations of our family have suffered because of it. You and I know this is true everywhere, but nowhere is it more true than in the African-American community. We know that more than half of all black children live in single-parent households. Half, a number that's doubled since we were children. We know the statistics that children who grow up without a father are 5 times more likely to live in poverty and commit crime. They're 9 times more likely to drop out of school, 20 times more likely to end up in prison. They're more likely to have behavioral problems, or run away from home, or become teen parents because the father wasn't in the home. The foundations of our community and our country are weaker because of this. Think about it. How many times over the last year has this city lost a child at the hand of another child? How many times have our hearts stopped in the middle of the night with the sounds of gunshot or sirens? How many teenagers have we seen hanging out on street corners instead of hanging out in the classroom? How many are sitting languishing in prison when they should be working or at least looking for a job? How many in this generation are we willing to lose to poverty or violence or addiction? How many? We can't simply write these problems off to past injustices. Those injustices are real. There's a reason why our families are in disrepair, and some of it has to do with a tragic history, but we can't keep on using that as an excuse. Some of it has to do with the failures of our government, and those failures are real, but we can't keep on using that as an excuse. Yes, we need fewer guns in the hands of people who shouldn't have them. Yes, we need more money for our schools and more outstanding teachers in the classroom and more after-school programs for our children. Yes, we need more jobs and more job training and more opportunity in our community. We know all that. That's why I'm running for president of the United States of America. We know we need to bring about change in America. We know that. But the change we need is not just going to come from government. It's not just going to come from a president. It's going to come from us. It's going to come from each and every one of us. We need families to raise our children. We need fathers to recognize that responsibility doesn't just end at conception. That doesn't just make you a father. What makes you a man is not the ability to have a child. Any fool can have a child. That doesn't make you a father. It's the courage to raise a child that makes you a father. And listen to all the mothers out there. You need help. You need help. We need to help all those mothers out there who are raising their kids by themselves. The mothers who drop them off at school and go to work and pick them up in the afternoon and work another shift and get dinner and make lunches and pay the bills and fix the house and protect the family and Do all the things that a parent is supposed to do. So many women in our community are doing this in a heroic fashion. We're so proud of all those single moms who are out there doing just incredible work, but they need support. They shouldn't have to be doing it all by themselves. They need another parent in the home. Their children need another parent in the home. That's what keeps their foundation strong. It's what keeps the foundation of our country strong. And I know what it means to have an absent parent. You know, my father wasn't in the house when I was growing up. I have to say my circumstances weren't as tough as they are for many young people today. Because even though my father left us when I was 2 years old, and I only knew him by the letters he wrote and the stories my family told, I was growing up in Hawaii. Hawaii is not quite as tough as the South Side. I'm just telling the truth. And I had two wonderful grandparents to help my mother, grandparents from Kansas who poured everything they had into me, helping my mother to raise my sister and me. They worked to teach us about love and respect and the obligations that we have to one another. And I have to admit, I messed up more often than I should have, but I got plenty of second chances. And even though we didn't have a lot of money, I had love and an education, scholarships that gave me the opportunity to go to some of the best schools in the country. See, a lot of children don't get those chances. There's no margin for error in the lives of so many of our children. They've got to have everything going for them. They've got to have mama rooting for them, but they've got to have daddy rooting for them too. I understand my story is different, but I know the toll that being a single parent took on my mother. How she struggled at times to pay the bills. How she was embarrassed sometimes to go to the store with food stamps because she wanted to make sure that we had enough to eat. How she struggled to give us the things that other kids had. Sometimes I'd come back home, you know, children don't always think about things the right way, and I'd complain about how Johnny had this or Jimmy had that. And I can only imagine how that made her feel. She struggled to play all the roles that both parents are supposed to play. She had to be the disciplinarian all the time. And I know the toll it took on me, not having a father in the house. The hole in your heart when you don't have a male figure in the home that can guide you and lead you and set a good example for you. So I resolved many years ago that it was my obligation to break the cycle. That if I could do anything in life, I would be a good father to my children. That if I could do anything, I would give them that rock, that foundation on which to build their lives. That would be the greatest gift I could offer them. And I say this knowing that I've been an imperfect father, knowing that I made mistakes, I'll continue to make more, wishing that I could be home more for my girls and my wife than I am right now. I say this knowing all of these things because even though we're all going to be imperfect parents, imperfect fathers, even as we all face difficult circumstances at times in our lives, there's still certain lessons we have to strive to live as fathers. Whether we're black or white, whether we're rich or poor, whether we're from the South Side or the wealthiest suburbs. The first lesson I think that all of us have to embrace is the idea of responsibility. That the idea of taking responsibility for your actions and taking responsibility for those that you love. And I know of no better example than this than my father-in-law, Michelle's dad, Frazier Robinson. Frazier Robinson, at the age of 30, was stricken with multiple sclerosis. By the time I met him, by the time I knew him, he had to walk with a couple of walkers, a couple of canes, everywhere he went. And he never went to college because he grew up at a time when there weren't a lot of opportunities. So he worked at a water filtration plant downtown, right by a Navy pier. And he worked there all his life. And he'd have to wake up an hour early because of his disability, an hour earlier than anybody else just to get to work on time. But he never missed a day's work. He never missed his son's basketball games. He never missed his daughter's recitals. He was always there for them, and he always loved them, and always rooted for them and inspired them. He took responsibility. He could have used his disability as an excuse, just like he could have used racism as an excuse for not caring for his children, but he was there all the time. That's a lesson that we have to embrace in our community. Taking responsibility, no matter what the hardships, to be the kind of father that our children need us to be. The second lesson that I've taken is setting an example of excellence for our children. Because if we want to set high expectations for them, we've also got to set some high expectations for ourselves. You know, it's sometimes, you know, it's interesting during this process of running for president, you remember at the beginning, people were wondering, how come he doesn't have all the support in the African-American community? You remember that?
Well,
that was when I wasn't black enough. Now I'm too black. But you remember that. You remember that big? Y'all remember. And what was interesting was how many people would come up to me and say, oh Barack, we love you, man. We're rooting for you, but we just don't think that a black man can be elected president.
Well,
I mean, we had already defeated ourselves before we even started. We didn't set high enough expectations for ourselves. We believe that somebody else can do it, but we can't do it. And that filters down to our children. That filters down to our children. When we set low expectations for ourselves, we set them low for our children. You know, too many parents come and they say, oh, this child's got a great report card. They got all B's. I say, all B's? Is that the highest grade? Is that the best you can do? I thought there was this other grade, an A. It's nice you got a B, but you can get an A. It's great if you have a job, but you know, you can get a better job. It's a wonderful thing if you got a better job, but maybe you can own a business and create jobs. It's a wonderful thing if you're married and living in a home with your children, but don't just sit in the house and watching SportsCenter all day. You know, I don't know if you guys remember Chris Rock had a routine. He said, too many of our men, they're proud. They brag about doing the things they're supposed to do. They say, well, I'm not in jail. Well, you're not supposed to be in jail. Don't brag about that. So we're glad that you're in the home, but engage your child. So many of our children are growing up in front of the television set, in front of the video games. As fathers and as parents, we've got to spend more time with them and help them with their homework and turn off the TV set once in a while. Turn off the video game and the remote control and read a book to your child. That's how we build that foundation. We know that education is everything to our children's future. We know that they will no longer be competing for jobs against people in Indiana or California. They're going to be competing against young people in China and in India, all over the world. And we know that the work and the studying and the levels of education that that's going to require. You know, just this past week, I stopped by an eighth grade graduation for a young woman's charter school, wonderful school. And there was all the pomp and all the circumstance, and parents were all bringing flowers. And I thought to myself, well, this is nice that we're celebrating, but you know what? This is just the eighth grade. You know, when I see sometimes these eighth grade graduations, I want to remind people, now hold on a second. Hey, this is just eighth grade. So let's not go over the top. Let's not have a huge party. Let's just give them a handshake and tell them, okay, now you're going to ninth grade and then 10th grade. Then you're going to graduate. Then you're going to college. Maybe you'll get a PhD. Maybe you'll get a law degree. Maybe you'll get a medical degree. It's just eighth grade. Don't get carried away with that eighth grade graduation. You're supposed to graduate from the eighth grade. It's up to us as fathers, as parents, to instill this sense of excellence in our children. It's up to us to say to our daughters, don't let the images on television tell you what you're worth. Because I want my daughters to dream without limits and reach for those goals. It's up to us to tell our sons those songs on the radio that glorify violence and glorify materialism. That's not going to cut it in my house. In my house, we live to admire and respect achievement and self-respect and hard work and faith. It's up to us to set those high expectations, and that means meeting those expectations ourselves. The third thing we need to do as fathers is pass along the value of empathy to our children. Not sympathy, but empathy. The ability to stand in somebody else's shoes, to look at somebody through their eyes. Sometimes it's so easy to get caught up in us, in me, that we forget about our obligations to other people, to one another. There's a culture in our society that says remembering to look out for other people is somehow being soft. We hear that even, you know, in our politics in Washington, that it's all about you. Look out for your self-interest. Don't look out for others. You know, our young children, they see that. They see when you're ignoring or mistreating your wife. They see when you're inconsiderate at home, when you're distant, when you're thinking only of yourself. And so it's no surprise we see that behavior on our school, in our schools and on our streets. And that's why we have to teach young people there's nothing weak about being kind. There's nothing weak about being thoughtful. There's nothing weak about being considerate. We got to teach our children that you're not strong by putting other people down. You're strong by lifting other people up. That's our responsibility and fathers. And by the way, it's a responsibility that extends to Washington. Because if fathers are doing their part here on the South Side or anywhere in the country, if they're taking responsibility seriously for their children and setting high expectations and instilling in them a sense of excellence and empathy, then our government should meet them halfway. I can't tell you how many fathers during the course of this campaign I've met who are working 2-3 jobs but still can't provide health insurance for their children. How many fathers who've lost their job and can't fill up the gas tank to go on a job search because of the high price of gas? We should be meeting them halfway. We should be making it easier for fathers who make responsible choices and harder for those who avoid them. We should get rid of the financial penalties we impose on married couples right now and start making sure every dime of child support goes directly to helping children instead of bureaucrats. We should reward fathers who pay that child support with job training and job opportunities and a larger earned income tax credit that can help them pay the bills. We should expand programs where registered nurses visit expectant and new mothers and help them learn how to care for themselves before the baby's born and what to do after that child is born. Programs that have helped increase fathers' involvement in their children and help improve the prospects of those women and their children's readiness for school. And we should help new families care for their children by expanding maternity and paternity leave. And we should guarantee that every worker gets more paid sick leave so they can stay home to take care of their child without losing their income or their job. We should take all of these steps to build a strong foundation for our children. But we also know that even if we do, even if we meet our obligations as fathers and parents, even if Washington does its part, we're still going to face difficult challenges in our lives. There will still be days of struggle and days of heartache. The rains will come and the winds will blow. And that's why the final lesson we must learn as fathers is also the greatest gift that we can pass on to our children, the gift of faith and the gift of hope. I'm not talking about an idle hope that is little more than blind optimism or willful ignorance of the promises that we face. I'm talking about hope and faith inside us that insists, despite all the evidence to the contrary, that something better is waiting for us. If we're willing to work for it, if we're willing to fight for it, if we're willing to believe in it. You know, I was answering questions at a town hall meeting in Wisconsin this week, and a young man raised his hand and he says to me, I thought he was going to ask about college tuition or energy or the war in Iraq. Instead, he looks at me very seriously. He's about 20. He says, what does life mean to you? And I have to admit that I wasn't quite prepared for that one. So I was stammering a little bit, and then I stopped and gave it some thought, and I said, you know, when I was a young man, I thought life was all about me. How do I make it in the world? How do I become successful? How do I get the things I want? But now my life revolves around my two little girls. They're not so little anymore. And what I think about is, what kind of world am I leaving them? Are we leaving them a country where there's a huge gap between a few people who are wealthy and a whole bunch of people who are struggling every day? Am I leaving them a country that's still divided by race? A country where, because they're girls, they don't have as much opportunity as boys do? Am I leaving them a country where we're hated around the world because we don't cooperate with other nations? Or are we leaving them a country that's in grave danger because of what's happening to the planet? And what I've realized is that life doesn't count for much unless you're willing to do your small part to leave our children, all of our children, a better world. Even if it's difficult, even if the work seems great, even if we don't get very far in our lifetime. That's our responsibility as fathers and as parents, to try, to hope. We do what we can to build our house upon the sturdiest rock. And for me, that means building that rock, building that house on the foundation of Jesus Christ. Because I'm going to make mistakes, and sometimes it's going to be hard. It's going to be hard for me as a father. It's going to be hard for me as a husband. It's hard for me as a public servant. But if I can instill in my children that sense that God is looking out for us, that He's going to be there for us during the darkest hour, that He's going to be there for us no matter what happens, no matter what winds blow, then I know that I can succeed, and I know they will succeed. We keep faith that our Father will be there to guide us and watch over us and protect us and lead His children through the darkest storms to the light of a better day. And that's my prayer for all of us here on Father's Day. That's my hope for this country in the years to come. And I hope that all of you feel that same faith, that same possibility that I do. Because if we rise up, if we have faith in the Lord, if we're working hard, if we do what we must do as fathers and as mothers, as grandfathers and grandmothers, if we're looking after our children, then I promise you, better days are ahead. God's going to lead us in a bright direction. God is going to lead us in a better direction. God bless you all. Thank you, Apostolic. I appreciate you. Thank you.